WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it is hump day, folks. Yes, Wednesday, February 19th, 2014. Hope you all are having one fantastic Wednesday. And as always, we have a ton to cover on today's show. We, in just a second, will be chatting with Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll. She is the MSU women's golf coach as they had one historic time at the Central District Invitational in beautiful Florida, where it's 80 degrees, sun is shining, birds chirping. Yeah, we can only dream about that here in Michigan, but we will be chatting with her. Again, they had just one moment for the ages, to be honest with you. They tied a school record, and Alyssa Farrell actually had the best 18-hole round in school history. It was unbelievable, folks. We'll talk to Stacy in just a moment about it all and get you along with getting you caught up on all of the latest mid-Michigan sport news. And I tell you what, guys, I also got to remind you all that tonight at WKAR, you can sign up online if you want to be a part of tonight's Current Sports TV audience. I will be sitting down with wrestling head coach of St. John's, Derek Phillips, as him and the St. John's Red Wings, they get ready to chase a state title in wrestling. But yes, Derek is such a nice guy, and if you want to sit down with us tonight at the WKAR TV studios and enjoy that episode, get to meet Derek and also see some pretty cool highlights from the week that was in Mid-Michigan sports, you can do so by signing up online at WKAR TV, WKAR.org, excuse me. But I want to remind you all that, we went out, we cover high school hoops all the time. School, of course, it's that time of the year. And I have a pretty cool story for you all. Last night, guys, I went out to the East Lansing High School and Grand Ledge game. It was at East Lansing High School. And I walk in, it's about right before halftime. And I tell you what, guys, the gym was completely buzzing. I mean, you could hear everyone in the crowd, just chatting to each other like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe what's going on right now. And I come in there, and I'm wondering what in the world is going on. And I talk to one of the security guards, and he says, Al, you just missed it. This is right before. I came in about with 1 second left in the first half. And he tells me that a kid by the name of, if you don't know his name, you're going to start hearing it, I'm sure, many times pretty soon. Nate Collin, folks. I talked to him. He says this kid by the name of Nate Collin just went off in the first half, scored over 20 points, did not miss. And I'm sitting there like, wow, okay, well, I was trying to shoot the game, and that might be all of my highlights. Just went out the door right there. So hopefully puts on a show in the second half. And I tell you what, folks, he came out, Nate Collin, and really, had everyone just in awe. Jaws were on the floor last night. Nate finished with, get this, 38 points, only missed two shots throughout the entire game, folks. Only missed two shots. This is high school we're talking about. Grand Ledge tried everything from double-teaming him to trying zone on him. I mean, he was just in a complete zone, guys. I mean, hands were in his face. He could not miss. And to show you that this kid isn't a fluke, because when I heard about him last week, and I didn't know he was putting on performances like this. I mean, he had, 20-point games and 30-point games last week as well, in which he led East Lansing to three straight victories last week, and it continued last night with the win over Grand Ledge, an 83-60 win. And Nate, he really is a pretty cool story, because this is a kid who was not even a starter to start the season, folks. I talked to Steve Fenimore, head basketball coach for East Lansing. He rode the bench. I said Steve afterwards, where in the world has this kid, Nate Collin, come from? And Steve looked at me dead in the eye and said, Al, he came from the end of the bench. And I start dying laughing. And he didn't even play for varsity, I believe, last year. I mean, it is quite a story, and this kid, folks, is quite the player. I mean, he is a dead-on shooter, and you can catch the highlights of that game, of that East Lansing and Grand Ledge game on Current Sports TV, and you'll get to see Nate light it up. And, you know, we talked to Nate afterwards. It was an incredible moment if you were at that game yesterday, and you'll get to see the highlights of that on Current Sports TV if you come to the live studio audience taping tonight at our Current Sports TV studios, or if you watch Current Sports TV tomorrow night at 10 p.m. But I had to tell that story because it was certainly one of those moments that you just get goosebumps when you see a kid just putting on a show, the entire gym standing up and rallying for him. Wow. So now with that win, East Lansing topping Grand Ledge, and with Holt topping Jackson yesterday, Holt and Grand Ledge are now tied. Tied, folks, at the top of the CAAC Blue Conference. Entertaining stuff there as the boys' basketball season winds down. We're definitely going to keep an eye on that and see what things shake up. And East Lansing, hats off to them. That's four straight now, folks. All right, well, again, a ton to get to. Let's get right to the show. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 19th, 2014. Really quickly, want to kind of round up some of the other notable scores in the Mid-Michigan area in boys basketball. Last night, also Lansing Catholic and Hazlitt both in action. Lansing Catholic gets the win, 73-48 over Hazlitt. Williamston top Fowlerville, 72-50. Lansing Sexton, they top Everett, 63-59. Okemos tops Lansing Eastern, 67-59. And again, Holt beats Jackson, 83-61. And East Lansing, 83-60 over Grand Ledge. Holt and Grand Ledge now tied atop the CAAC Blue. Man, Nate Collin, again, you were unbelievable, kid. You were unbelievable. All right, let the draft chatter begin, folks. Four Michigan State players will take part in the NFL Scouting Combine that starts Saturday in Indianapolis. And one looks like a first-round pick, and one may be dropping, and the other two have a chance to show that they should be drafted. Now, the NFL Network draft analyst Mike Mayock said Tuesday on a teleconference that cornerback Darquez Dennard is his favorite corner in the draft. And like most other analysts at this point, Mayock expects to see the Thorpe Award winner go in the first round. Now, when it comes to middle linebacker Max Bulla, he said, quote, he has really hurt himself and projects him to go in the fifth round or later. And he alluded to, of course, Bulla being suspended. Of course, he didn't make that trip to the Rose Bowl and so on and so forth. And also, when it comes to the East and West All-Star game, Mayock said of Bulla, I didn't like the way he moved around in the East and West game. So there you have that. We'll see what ensues in that. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Darquez goes in that first round. Also yesterday, when it comes to college hoops in the Big Ten, Indiana's basketball game yesterday against Iowa had been postponed after a piece of metal fell from the ceiling of Assembly Hall and into the seats. Now, Indiana has scheduled a news conference. They scheduled a news conference yesterday at 7 p.m. to cancel the game. Reporters weren't being allowed on the court. ESPN has footage of when the piece of the ceiling came down because they were shooting a segment on the court. Now, the game was scheduled to tip off at 9 p.m. and was supposed to be televised by ESPN. Now, Indiana's men's basketball team has home games remaining against Iowa, Ohio State, and Nebraska. There is no word yet on when the Indiana and Iowa game will be made up. All right, Bobcats and Pistons, folks. In the Pistons' first game after the All-Star break, they lose to the Charlotte Bobcats 108-96. Leading the Bobcats to the win was Al Jefferson. He was great last night. He had 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Detroit's Andre Drummond, he countered with 16 points and 22 rebounds of his own. But, again, it wasn't enough for the Pistons to get the win. The Pistons are, again, on the road this time against the Bobcats, a 7:30 p.m. tip time. All right, now Brad Ausmus, he ruled it official this morning that Annabelle Sanchez, Justin Verlander, and Max Scherzer are all at equal standing to start as opening day pitcher on the March 31st game versus Kansas City. So, Ausmus went on to say, It could be a tough decision. You really have three legitimate opening day type pitchers on the roster. You have a Cy Young MVP winner in Verlander, who is coming off surgery, but who is right now looks to be on track. You have the reigning Cy Young winner in Max Scherzer, and you have the ERA champ in Sanchez. That's a good problem to have, folks. So baseball is right around the corner. Certainly excited for that. All right, Finland outlasted Team Russia, in ice hockey last night to eliminate them from medal contention at the Sochi Olympics. Now, Finland allowed an early goal, but then scored twice in the first and once early in the second. Now, they were outshot 38-22, but had a solid performance from Boston Bruin goalie. They now play top-seeded Sweden in the semis. And the U.S. men's hockey team is looking to advance to the semis in Sochi by beating the Czech Republic and are off to a strong start. Now, after James Van Riemsdyk's goal opened the scoring just over 90 seconds in, an errant clearing attempt by the U.S. resulted in Aleš Hamský's game-tying goal for the Czech Republic a few minutes later. Now, Dustin Brown scored a go-ahead goal off a perfect cross-ice pass from David Bax to make it 2-1 USA. Then, with just over a second remaining in the opening period, Baxi stuffed a rebound off the inboards to give the USA 3-1 lead at the end of the first intermission. Now, Zach Paris, he added an early second period goal, making it 4-1 in the second period. So we'll keep you updated as that game goes on. It started at 12 noon, so there is your update. It is 2-1, a 3-1 lead after the end of the first intermission, and then a early second period goal makes it 4-1 in the second period. So looking good right now. All right, after Lolo Jones and Jasmine Finlater, they sat in 11th place at the halfway point of the women's bobsled competition. Jones' selection to the women's team once again received a heavy dose of scrutiny. Now, former U.S. Olympian Chuck Berkeley, who competed in the 2010 Vancouver Games, took shots at Jones, who is the popular U.S. hurdler who recently tried her hand at bobsled, saying, quote, "I get that people want to latch on to a media sensation and run wild. But it comes down to this. There are athletes who deserve to be there and who are not there on the women's and men's sides." Now, and you have to ask yourself, why is that the case? What is wrong with the selection process? Why is it flawed? Why is it corrupt? So there you have that. Lolo definitely taking some heat. And shortly after announcing it was parting ways with legends Shannon Sharpe and Dan Marino, CBS has found their replacements for the NFL Today pregame show. Recently retired Tony Gonzalez. Yes, Gonzalez, the surefire Hall of Fame tight end, had recently hinted at the possibility of returning to the Atlanta Falcons late in the season. His decision to join the CBS team has ended those rumors, saying, quote, "I'm not killing myself in the offseason anymore. I'm not even preparing to play football. It's on to the next chapter in my life, and I am looking forward to it." So there you have it. Tony Gonzalez will replace Shannon Sharpe and Dan Marino in CBS. So there you have that. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in. You know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And share anything that's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And again, we're opening our phone lines this entire hour if you want to talk about anything. And you know, we have a pretty cool Barbershop Wednesday for you. You know how there has been countless talks of the whole Mount Rushmore discussion, especially when you talk about the NBA due to LeBron James's prediction on who should be in the NBA's top, Mount Rushmore, if you will. And that has stemmed some interesting conversations in the world of sports, stemming to the NFL now. And many have debated who should be on the NFL's Mount Rushmore. So that is our Barbershop Wednesday. Who deserves to be up there and have their name etched in one of the four on the NFL's Mount Rushmore? We will definitely debate about that. And if you have an opinion on it, what does your list look like? 517-355-9527. And we'll chat about it. We'll definitely debate about it. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Now, the MSU women's golf team, they turned a lot of heads a couple of days ago in the beautiful state of Florida at Cypress Links Course at Lakewood Ranch. They made school history by shooting the lowest single round with a 278. And get this, senior Alyssa Farrell, she tied a school record with a 5-under score of 67. My goodness, only in my dreams. Now, she would go on to finish the event with the best 54-hole score in school history with a 9-under par, 207. Now, MSU would finish the Central District invite third place. Now, to talk about the historic accomplishments of this team these past few days, I welcome 17-year head coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll to Current Sports. Stacy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Now, Stacy, I just rattled it off. You guys made history. Now, history that's made is rarely anticipated to any degree, but coming into the Central District invite, how confident were you that your team was going to perform well?
Well, I think, you know, as a coach, we always have to be confident. We always have to believe in our team. And we were just in Los Angeles last week and playing in a tournament that we're very familiar with, but the course is very difficult out in California. So yeah. I think that was a major thing for us. Is when we went to our tournament, we actually hosted a tournament in Florida this past 2 days. The course, and I would never say a golf course is easy, but it felt a little bit easier than what we had played on in Palos Verdes. So I think that was a catalyst for us to, shoot 15 under as a team, and for Alyssa to shoot 9 under as a player.
Yes, I'm saying, reading the reports about the invite. I mean, the weather was beautiful. And when you talk about how the course, you know, would kind of play to your guys' advantage, and everyone's out who are out there. I mean, in what way? What made the course easier out there?
Well, I think, I hate to use the word easy, because if we set it up, it was almost 6,400 yards, mm-hmm. and I think, honestly, the Vanderbilt coaches and us, we've just had such horrible weather this spring, and not just Michigan, everywhere on the east side of the country. The coaches and I all said, gosh, you know what, I just think these players are so happy to be outside, so happy to be warm, so happy to be playing. And I think those under par scores, at least for the top, we had 5 teams finish under par, which was awesome. And I just think being in those conditions, it was hard not to be happy and hard not to play good. So the greens, though, weren't overly fast. They were in perfect condition, and any girl who was hitting her irons well had the ability to putt for birdie on every hole where she had a short iron in. So that was another huge thing, that the greens weren't allowing the golf balls to get away from them when we were putting. And so student athletes were aggressive, and they made a lot of putts, and we made a lot of birdies.
Well, I tell you what, that certainly would have to be a fun time, I tell you that. Now, I got to ask you, Stacy, was there a specific moment when you realized how special you guys would perform, specifically when looking at those first 2 rounds?
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment?
Yeah, was there a moment this could be pretty special?
Yes. We have a scoring system, and actually anyone can follow us online live. And this week we used a program called birdiefire.com. And so every 3 holes, every player playing in the tournament is reporting her scores to a scorer. That scorer puts the scores in and automatically goes online. And so as coaches, there's no way, we have 2 coaches, and there's no way we can be with all 5 players at once. Mm-hmm. So really how we're monitoring a lot of our progress is online on our, on our cell phones. And, when as a coach, when you see a player that's getting 3, 4, and then eventually 5 under, that's obviously a special round of golf, no matter where you're playing. And so it was very exciting. And then we had to get confirmation from, we knew that Alyssa had tied. We knew 67 was the low ever. And she actually had about a 10-footer on the last hole to shoot 66, which would have broke another school record. But wow. We called Ben Flieger, our sports information contact, and just confirmed the 3 records that we broke. And it's very exciting. And I think it's just what it is for us, is a catalyst to what we're capable of doing. And that's what we're always preaching to our student athletes, is don't ever put limits on what you're capable of. And, of course, from my perspective, now I know what they're capable of, so we'll be expecting under par scores for the rest of the season.
There you go. Those expectations just went through the roof, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Gotta love that. Now, Stacy, you talk about Alyssa. Again, she tied a school record for the lowest 18-hole score and also finished the invite with the best 54-hole individual score in school history. That is quite impressive. Now, she tied for first place to end the invite. What do you think allowed Alyssa to play so well, and how special is she?
Well, Alyssa's just a good player all around. Her two strengths are she is consistent. She doesn't hit the ball sideways. It's always down the middle, and she's an incredible putter, and she believes in her putter. She loves her putter. She always has since she's got to Michigan State. And, you know, in golf, when you get on a roll like that, you know, and I guess in so many sports, you know, whatever it is you're doing, when that confidence starts to build, it's almost, you know, it's irreversible when you're playing in a tournament like this. So she just kept believing in herself, and she felt so good about what she was doing. And I think the biggest thing is that the record that she broke, the two records actually, well, the biggest one she broke was the three-day total, which was held by Caroline Powers, who just graduated last year and is the best player in Michigan State history.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was so excited about because, you know, history is made to be broken. We've got that old saying, and all that says to me is we are recruiting the right players that are getting better and better and better every year. And I want those records to continually be broken, and that's what was really exciting for us. And we talked about that after the round yesterday.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And you know what, after that round and, you know, after the invite, I mean, what did you say to Alyssa? What was her reaction? I mean, has she had a moment just to take all this on, take all this in, excuse me, and did she have to pinch herself after this?
Yes. Well, in all honesty, she was a little disappointed.
She was? Wow.
She tied for first, and the girl that that tied her did it on the last hole of play yesterday, and she made a birdie putt. And Alyssa's birdie, she had a birdie putt as well, Alyssa did, that sat on the edge of the hole.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, I knew where they it was a hard situation. And, you know, to play that well and then know that if that putt would have fallen, she would have won outright. But, again, it's... In sports, you could have always done better. There was always more out there. And we just tried to really make sure that she was very clear that what she did was an incredible accomplishment, and shooting 9-under as an individual player was awesome, and that we're so proud of her. So she definitely pinched herself, but it's, again, that little bit of, oh, I was so close, you know, to winning it outright. And, again, she's a consistent player, a wonderful representative from Michigan State, and we're just happy to have her on our team.
Yes, that is pretty cool stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking to 17-year head coach of the MSU women's golf team, Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll. Now, Stacey, you know, the mind comes so much into play, you know, when you talk about the game of golf. I mean, Lord knows, every summer I'm out there just trying to rack my brain on how to improve my game. Now, you as a coach, what little tips and tricks do you try to use to make sure your team is ready mentally? Because it seems like it definitely worked these past few days.
Yes, and I think that what we really try and work on is just having young people that we're with every day that learn to believe in themselves. And we do that in practice. We do that in the weight room. And it's just something that we have instilled in our program that we feel that if we can have young women that are believing in what they're doing on a daily basis, and that transfers over to the golf course and to the classroom and in the weight room, we're going to have successful student athletes. And I think over the time period that I've been coaching, we've proven that. We've got the highest team GPA for the past 3 years of all of our teams on campus. We probably, of all the teams, missed the most class days just because our tournaments are 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what we instill in them, is that we, you know, don't put a limit or a cap on what you're able to achieve. And especially for us being a northern school, I think that's always something that people want to talk about or ask, how do we do that? And to me, it's just, that's the way it is. And we always want to put out the best product that we can as Spartans. And for us representing Michigan State, and there truly is nothing that should be able to stop us. And we've been a top 20 team for 15 years now, and there's 300 Division I golf teams in the nation.
Yes, well, I'll tell you what, Stacey, it certainly is working. Now, you all return to play, I believe, on March 28th at the Bryan National Collegiate in North Carolina. Now, with such a big break in between, I mean, how will you maintain this team's focus and keep them ready?
Well, that does sound like a big break, but in 9 days, we will be going down to Florida for 10 days for our spring break. And so we will be practicing down there. We will be having a little matches amongst ourselves. So those are the first 2 weekends of March, and all in between that first week will be in Florida. And then the third weekend of March will be in Pinehurst.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
Even though on our schedule it looks like there's a little break in the action, there truly is not. We're going to be focusing on the things that is going to allow us to shoot, you know, 21 under. So we could have won the tournament this week, and we're always practicing every day and working toward our goal. So we'll be nice and busy. Don't worry about that.
Gotta love that, and I tell you what, you're going to be getting out of this Michigan weather and enjoying. I'm certainly the beautiful sun of Florida, right? Because I believe you guys are leaving on March 1st. Don't do spring break down there.
Yes.
Oh,
the
beautiful.
Players yesterday were asking if there was any way we could mistakenly miss our plane last night.
right.
But they really did need to get back to school today. And, you know, outside today it's sunny and things are melting. And so that's the first step. Hopefully spring is around the corner. But, yes, Florida right now at this time of year is a little bit nicer, and the golf courses are all in great shape down there.
Oh, you can't beat that. Now, again, you alluded to this earlier, Stacey. Now, with the performances of this team at the Central District invite, I mean, where do those expectations for you now sit? Because, like you said, they go up a bit now, I assume.
Well, honestly, they don't ever change. I've been coaching for a long time now, and every year our goal is to win the Big Ten Championship and to make the National Championship. And then last year we really set the bar higher with that because we finished ninth in the National Championship, and that was the highest that we had ever finished as a program. That includes when Mary Fossum was coaching as well as myself. So now the goal is we finish in the top 10 every year, we win the Big Ten Championship. And along with that are our academic goals, and then also preparing our student-athletes to play on tour when they leave. And almost all of the players that we have that are playing in our top five right now, that is their goal. So that's part of our job, too, is to make sure that when they leave Michigan State, they've had an incredible experience as a student-athlete. They've graduated with a degree that is going to be meaningful for them. And if they want to play on tour, then they are prepared in all aspects of how to do that, how to raise finances for that, and what they need to do to make it as an LPGA Tour player.
And you speak of those that go on from Michigan State and continue their career. Of course, Caroline Powers, the most decorated women's golfer in the history of the school. When you talk about Caroline, I mean, what's the update on Caroline? How is she progressing now as her career moves on?
She's great. We're actually the Symetra Tour, which is the step right under the tour, right underneath the LPGA. They start this week. They're out in Arizona. So we'll have Sarah Brown playing on tour, Laura Cuny, and Caroline Powers. So we'll have three Spartans on the Symetra Tour. They start this Friday. And they actually, in our state, in Michigan, we're going to have two Symetra Tour tournaments, which is awesome. One up north in the UP and then one at Battle Creek Country Club. So if anyone's interested in going and cheering on our Spartans, that would be great. And also, by that time, senior Christine Meyer will be playing on the Symetra Tour as well. She made it to the final stage of qualifying school this year, and as soon as we're done with our national championship and she gets that degree, she will be headed out on the Symetra Tour, so we'll have four Spartans playing out there this summer.
Wow, what a program. There you have it, 17-year MSU women's head golf coach Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll. Stacey, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck as the season progresses.
Thank you. My pleasure, and again, thanks for having me out.
No problem. All right, well, ladies and gents, let's hit the break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little MSU men's basketball. Yes, there's an update on Keith Appling, and folks, it's a pretty favorable one. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about Lolo Jones and who should be on the NFL's Mount Rushmore. What do you think? Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, we just finished talking with MSU head women's golf coach Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll as her and her golf team. They really just had a lot of heads turning over the past few days as one historic 2 days down in Florida. A very, very accomplished program, to say the least. Alyssa Farrell, shout out to her. She tied a school record with a 5-under score of 67, folks. And MSU made school history overall by shooting the lowest single round score in school history with a 278. Wow. I mean, that's all you can say with that. Wow. Thanks so much, Stacey, for joining me. And also, folks, MSU men's basketball, yes, it is live and in full effect. And the talk of the town has been Keith Appling. Of course, earlier this week during MSU head coach Tom Izzo's Monday noon presser, he alluded to guard Keith Appling and his health. Of course, Appling is battling that wrist injury, and said he would consider the possibility of possibly sitting Keith Appling out until the postseason starts and March hits. But Appling, I took a trip to practice yesterday, and Appling was, you know, in full practice mode. I mean, he was not limited at all, and his wrist really looks to be improving. We talked to him afterwards, after practice, about his injury.
You know, this morning I woke up feeling a whole lot better. I was able to do some things that I haven't been able to do for a couple of weeks. So like today was a positive breakthrough.
Like, use a form with your right hand? What kind of?
Yeah, I was dribble my right hand, finish, shoot, you know, pass. You know, with no pain or a little amount of pain.
So you fully expect to play Thursday then?
Yeah. Of course. That's supposed to be. That shouldn't even be a question. But Earl's got to continue to, you know, work the rust off in practice, you know, and just continue taking it one day at a time. You know, I started my day off perfectly, you know, and I'm just happy to see that, you know, it's just finally progressing the way I wanted to.
So how'd you think you practiced?
I think I practiced decent, but I really didn't get to do much, you know, at the end. But I mean, up until that point, I feel like I had decent practice. I was a little mad at Coach for pulling me out, but got my best interest at heart in the long run, for the long run. So, you know, and got out and watched the guys finish strong. You know, I have five Big Ten games left. My final go round is Spartan, and I plan on playing in all five of them.
So there you have that. That is guard Keith Appling for the MSU men's basketball team. Folks, if you had any speculation as to his status on the rest of the Big Ten season, Keith looks ready to go, Alex and Matt. You know, you just heard it right there. I saw him in practice yesterday, and it's pretty funny because I was talking to a few people at practice yesterday, and it's pretty funny because we saw Appling, you know, in that last game against Nebraska. We saw the play that stands out to me is that air ball from the corner, and I looked at his, you know, look at that moment, and I say, oh, wow, his wrist is not 100% at all. And it's funny because during warm-ups, I didn't see warm-ups, but Keith made everything. I mean, he was shooting from three-point land. His wrist looked 100%. So the status of that wrist, I don't know. It's up and down. I mean, Keith looked good in practice yesterday. He practiced full contact yesterday and looked pretty good. He looked pretty good, guys. But and I was talking also, Keith, what you guys didn't get to hear. I mean, they've tried everything on that wrist to try to expedite the process of the healing. They've even tried acupuncture on the wrist. Acupuncture, guys. I mean, they're trying everything to try to get him healed. It looks as though he will play this week. How much will he play is still up in the air. But the sooner he gets healthier and gets back, the better, I think. So
yeah, and then the debate is into how much will he hurt the team by not being 100%. I think he's going to really hurt the team, Al. I mean,
you do.
Because when they were grooving, when they were winning, Appling was healthy, Harris was healthy. But the key point is Appling was performing, and he was hitting 15 to 20 points. I've talked about this several weeks now, but they haven't been the same when Keith Appling doesn't score. And you're wondering who's going to step up. We talked about maybe it being Payne, but I really do think it's Appling. This was, as much as Brandon Dawson was the X factor, Keith Appling scoring, I mean, he scored way more this year than he has in any previous year. And he's taken more control. He's taken better shots. He's become a better shooter. So for those reasons alone, I think that Keith Appling is vital to Michigan State winning games.
Yeah, well, I think when Keith is 100% healthy, I mean, even though we saw Keith Appling grind out some games, though, if you always go back to that fall that he took, you know, when he landed on his hip, I mean, he's been a battered man for some time now. But we've seen Keith battle through injuries because he, Lord knows, I mean, at least 60 to 70% of this season, he has not been 100%. And we've seen him when he hasn't been 100% still deliver to a degree. Now, whether it be getting other guys involved, whether it be attacking the paint, whether it be in getting their transition game going. And that's the part I want to really harp on, because if you look at that Nebraska game, when Keith only played about 19 minutes, he wasn't really a huge factor. What really stood out to me, a stat that really stands out to me, is that Michigan State was held without any fast break buckets. This is a team that prides themselves on getting in transition and getting fast break buckets, and Nebraska held them to zero, nada, a huge donut. Keith Appling is a big part of that because he is the point guard. He's the guy that gets the outlet. He's the guy that finds guys on breaks, and him not being 100% healthy in that game did hurt them. Now, he looks to be improving, though, and I would like to see just where he is at against Purdue before I make any brash assumptions.
I think we got spoiled by Adrian Payne's return when he came back and immediately looked like his old self again. I mean, it took him maybe a game and a half to kind of get into, you know, being the old AP, but, you know, he had 12 points in his first game back.
He was great.
You know, he came back and he looked like Adrian Payne. Keith Appling looked nothing like Keith Appling on Sunday, and it went beyond him. It wasn't like, you know, him being hurt was the only reason they lost. Everybody played terrible that game. But when, you know, you have a guy who is going to handle the ball on every play, especially, you know, the leader of your team, your point guard, your
right.
floor general.
He's the QB.
It's going to take him a little bit to get back into the swing of things, especially when you're in, you know, the meat of the Big Ten season. We're headed to the stretch run here. You know, the whole season has just been a waiting game. Well, you know, just wait till everybody gets healthy. Wait till they get all their guys back, and then, you know, Michigan State's the best team in the Big Ten. I mean, you look at the calendar, there's not that much time left. I mean,
no,
we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. So the sooner he can get back, the better. But obviously the biggest thing is you don't want to rush him back, because he takes one awkward fall. And, you know, then, you know, what's the point of having him for 23 minutes at Purdue if he hurts himself and isn't effective in the stretch run of the Big Ten season? So I think
you gotta
parse it out. I mean, Travis Trice has played well in his absence.
Right.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if he does play, where does he play? Is he going to be that guy on the ball, or is he going to be off the ball, kind of, you know, running around screens, doing stuff like that, where he's not totally, you know, given all the responsibility of the team right away? Do they work him back slowly?
I agree, because, you know, when you look at the situation, it puts Tom Izzo in kind of a pickle here, because, you know, him and Keith, it's been pretty cool to see him and Keith's relationship evolve over time, because we know it wasn't the greatest when Keith first got here at MSU, but it's pretty cool. They have a very, very cool relationship now. And you heard from Keith. I mean, he's a senior. We're not sure what's going to happen once, you know, once he leaves MSU and tries to go to the NBA draft and whatnot, but he's a senior. He's only got, what, 5 Big Ten games left. He wants to be out there. It's a part of his – this is what he wants to do, because his career is slowly, you know, coming down to the end. And you got to be fair to him to some degree. If he wants to be out there, he's a senior, let him. But you also have to find that happy balance in not hurting the team with him being out there, which is going to be an interesting dynamic to see as the season goes on. Guys, also, Gary Harris is, of course, we all know Gary Harris is definitely in a slump right now. He has not shot great these past few games. I personally think this would be a great game, a great week for him to get back on track. Gary Harris addressed his struggles and the team's struggles coming into this week and their mindset going into Purdue and Michigan.
Gary, the motivation for this week has to be through the roof. I mean, you guys coming off the loss at Purdue, and then you play your biggest rival in Michigan on Sunday. I mean, talk about just how big this week is for you guys.
It's huge, you know, even though we have a disappointing loss. I mean, we couldn't be asked for a better position, because if we win our games out, I mean, our destiny's in our own hands. So if we win out, I mean, we're going to win the Big Ten Championship. So, you know, it's a lot on us. I mean, if we win these next 5 games, you know, we've reached one of our goals. So, I mean, it's just a mindset. We got to come ready to play each game.
Gary, are you taking this week as a personal challenge for yourself? You know, trying to get out that slump that you're in right now. This may be the perfect week to do that, right?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm trying to do anything I can. I'm not really focused on myself. I'm focused on doing anything and everything we can do to help this team win and help us get 2 big wins this week, and hopefully keep moving and get it rolling here as we towards the season starting to end.
Did you feel any differently about the Nebraska game after watching it or on film, or same exact thing you saw it 5 minutes after the game?
You know, they hit some shots. I mean, if we would have played with the intensity we played at the end of the game, you know, I feel like the game doesn't even get that to that point. I mean, they had some tough shots down the stretch, but the way we were playing defense at the end of the game, I mean, we would have done that from the beginning, it would have been totally different.
So there is Gary Harris guard, Gary Harris, addressing the team's loss to Nebraska and their mindset coming into this week. And I tell you, I wasn't surprised by Gary's answers. I mean, he is a guy who just stays kind of even keel, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and just takes it game by game. And is really, he knows he's in a slump. I mean, but at the same time, he feels as though he's going to get out that slump each and every time he hits the court. And I think, again, this would be a good week for him. Also, we talked to Adrian Payne on how they're bouncing back with practice this week.
All right, AP, first of all, talk about how practice has been, you know, coming off the loss, shaking it off, how practice has been these past few days.
We didn't have a tough practice. You know, coach been worried about us and you know, the injuries on the team, so he hasn't been able to go as hard in practice because everybody been getting hurt. So, you know, he's just been trying to, you know, trying to find ways to get stuff done without too much pounding. And, that's the main thing, but we had a good practice today, so you know, we're just trying to get better every day.
So you guys haven't been going full force out there?
No, we haven't been doing. We have today. We just been trying to get better, you know, day to day. And, you know, today was a much physical, more physical day. And, you know, I think that's going to help us a lot, especially with our rebound.
Is that kind of frustrating when you guys can't, you know, go full 100% in practice? I mean, does that kind of hinder how, you know, trying to get to a groove and get game ready?
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you've been out for a month and then coming back and trying to get back condition-wise. That's the main thing. But I think, you know, practice has been better. I think team is starting finally to get together a little bit more. You know, our chemistry is getting better on the court. You know, we're starting to get Keith back. And, you know, that's the main thing, is just trying to get everything back in the groove.
So you do notice a difference with guys coming back into the fold, and do you think Brandon is the last chip to fall there?
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely tell the difference because, you know, with Keith, he's able to do more things than Travis, and Travis is able to be able to do different things than Keith. So once we get Keith back in the offense and in defense, you know, things that look more smoother. And, you know, I think once we get everybody back, we'll be able to, you know, do more things, which our matchups won't be as, you know, messed up and won't be as tough. So I think that'd be good, too. You watch the film, they made some tough shots. You know, it was well contested, but they just, you know, it was just one of them nights they couldn't miss. And, you know, when you play a team that's, you know, ranked high and you're not, you know, that's what comes with it. And you got to just come out and play. But, you know, they was making some crazy shots out there.
You guys have more ground to cover offensively or defensively?
I think we both, really. I think it's going to be, I think once we get everybody back, we're going to be able to get a lot better, especially offensively and defensively. Because, as you know, DJ and Keith, you know, they're both great defenders. And, you know, BJ is a great rebounder, so we're definitely going to need that. And Keith is good on the ball and off the ball, and he makes his teammates better. So it's good to have, you know, it'd be good to get all them back.
Yes, that is Adrian Payne addressing the status of the team as they now get ready for Purdue and Michigan this week. All right, guys. Well, let's kind of wrap this segment up. Just really quickly, predictions. Alex, I know you and I made our predictions, and I think MSU will sweep this week and get back on track. But you think they will win against Purdue, and Michigan takes the cheese on Sunday.
They will. And the reason is because you heard it from Payne himself. Keith brings so much to the game, and same with Gary, him being consistent, that without them and playing against a smaller Michigan team, if their guards aren't consistent back or playing fully, Michigan's just going to run them on the guard position. So I think that's going to happen. I don't think Keith's going to be 100% for Michigan, and I think that Stauskas-Derek Walton matchup will be key against Trice.
Matt?
Well, I think this game against Purdue is going to be closer than a lot of people think. because Dawson's absence is huge there. He tends to have his best games against Purdue and Indiana, especially Purdue. A lot of it has to do with his recruitment and how he almost went to Purdue but then came to Michigan State.
Same thing with Gary, too. Gary has big games against Purdue,
right,
too.
Right, I mean, but Dawson especially. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Last year he couldn't hit a shot, and then he was hitting everything and had, I think, like 22 points against Purdue. I mean, he has big games against the Boilermakers. Without him down there, it's a tough place to play. Purdue's got Hammonds inside. He's a big guy who can match up with Payne probably better than most guys in the Big Ten. Maybe Vonleh's the only guy who matches up better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a tougher game. I still think they'll win. As far as Michigan goes, I think Dawson's absence there is huge too, because last game at the end of regulation, they got out-toughed down the stretch. And I think with Dawson on the floor, he gives MSU an edge that they won't have. I think it's going to be tough, but somehow, some way, I still think they knot the series at one this season. I think they go to Chrysler and win.
I think they do too. So you're going to sweep for MSU this week as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going with the same way. I mean, kind of just echoing what you guys, what Matt has said. I mean, as far as the Purdue game goes and Michigan game goes, but Alex, you're going the other way. I do think the guards will be such a key component in that Michigan game. I think that Trav comes out and plays, has a great shooting game. I think that Adrian Payne down low, I mean, they have no answer for. I think the key for that Michigan game, I think Adrian Payne is just going to be able to do what he wants down low. I think that will also be a key. We'll see. It's definitely going to be an entertaining.
And it was the last time they played, Adrian Payne was, I'd say, one of the biggest reasons why they were close to that game.
Yeah, but also you got to give hats off to Michigan shooting as well. I mean, what they do is shoot. Nick Stauskas has got a little hot, and you know, you gotta maintain. They have to guard the perimeter very, very well, which I think they will rebound.
But you think Trice is going to have a good game?
I think Trice does have a good game. I think Denzel Valentine
is going to score. You think?
I think he will score. Yeah,
pass the ball around.
I think he will score and facilitate. I don't see many turnovers coming from him. I mean, and you know, something remarkable about Travis Trice. I mean, coming into besides that Nebraska game, I mean, he had three straight games without a turnover. So he knows how to manage a game, and he's learning game by game on how to do that better. And better, and I think him and Valentine were both had good big games that game. So all right, guys, when we come back, we're going to dive into our Barbershop Wednesday segment for today. Who should be on the NFL's Mount Rushmore? Yes, if you want to give your thoughts, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Right, welcome back to Current Sports. Well, it is Wednesday, and every Wednesday we have our Barbershop Wednesday segment. Maybe the favorite, my most favorite day when it comes to our special segments each day, when you talk about Pick 'em Mondays and Top 5 Tuesdays, Throwback Thursdays, and so on. Barbershop Wednesday for today's Wednesday is who should be on the NFL's Mount Rushmore. Yes, Mount Rushmore talk has been the talk of the town these past few weeks, especially in the NBA when it comes to LeBron's whole who should be on the NBA's Mount Rushmore. Now it's stemmed to the NFL. I mean, people have weighed in on that. So, guys, I guess I'll start it off. If I had to go with, and this is a tough one because there are so many greats to play this game of football.
You think so?
Too.
I don't think this is actually that tough.
I think it's easier than the NBA's, but it's still tough. It's still because there's so many people that played, that laced them up and played, you know, on the gridiron. For me though, if I had to go with, you know, the NFL's Mount Rushmore guys, I would go Jerry Rice, who I think is just, I mean, when you talk about the game of football and especially receiver position, I mean, he is known as the GOAT. I mean, Michael Irvin went on to call. I remember when I never get this quote. Michael Irvin called him Jesus in cleats. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, he caught anything. I mean, he could. His route running was supreme. I mean, he outworked everybody. I remember stories of him working out with the great Michael Jordan in sand dunes during the offseason. I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, Jerry Rice, definitely. Lawrence Taylor, got to go with LT. I think LT, the greatest linebacker in the game of football. When you talk about football, I mean, LT's name comes up so many times. I mean, he was such an intimidating force when he was out there. Next, I would have to go with Joe Montana. He was approved winner. When you talk about the quarterback position, Montana's name is constantly brought up when you compare the GOATs of all time in this game of football. And Jim Brown is he makes the last spot on my list. Jim Brown, when you talk about football in general, Jim Brown's name comes up all the time as well. One of the greatest running backs of all time. He has countless records to his name. But those would be my four. Now, I struggled. I got to give some honorable mention. I want to give some shout-outs to John Elway, who I was a huge fan of when I grew up. John Elway, when you talk about quarterbacks, I mean, John was just such a pleasure to watch. He was so smart, so savvy. He was such an accurate quarterback, a smart quarterback. John Elway, he's the man. Barry Sanders, the only reason I didn't put Barry on my list because Barry, he never won anything. That's the thing with Barry. And he got out the game too early. If Barry would have played longer and played on the right team, I mean, he easily could have been on the Mount Rushmore. He definitely have to give a shout-out to him. So I'm curious, what do your guys' list look like? Alex, you want to kick it off? Second?
Yeah, I mean, my list is pretty similar. The only replacement I have is, although I have Rice, I have Brown, but I think there needs to be four offensive players on there. I don't know if LT... Yeah,
no defensive player.
I think he's the best defensive player, but I don't think that he's been dominant enough. I think there have been offensive players that are more dominant than LT. So for that reason, I think that Brett Favre should be on Mount Rushmore.
Brett Favre on the Mount Rushmore?
He holds all the NFL records in passing, Al.
Yeah, but
how could you not
over
put him on
LT?
There?
LT changed the way the defenses played today in the game. The thing about LT is he changed the game. That's the thing about Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he was in. I don't. Hold on, how can you say that there shouldn't be a? So you don't think there should be a defensive player?
I think that
on the
Brett
list?
Favre. Well, I think that all the offensive players have held more accolades.
So you wouldn't put one? Not one defensive player is going on your list.
No, because they've had more. They've had
I'm
more
not
accolades.
Putting Brett Favre over Lawrence Taylor by any means. Brett Favre, don't get me wrong. Brett Favre is one. He's a legend. I mean, but all the countless interceptions
who else
he threw.
Who else do you see in a Wrangler commercial? Come on.
Just because he's in a Wrangler commercial, I'm not putting it on my Mount Rushmore. Lawrence Taylor, to me, I mean, he's just kind of the measuring stick when you talk about defensive players and defensive dominance. I don't know. LT is the man. All right, Matt.
All right. Well, see, this is why I think it's actually tougher than the NBA because you have offensive and defensive players. It's not like guys are out there playing both ways all the time. So, you know, you have to measure them differently. And I think to have four offensive players on Mount Rushmore is...
Ooh, that's kind of disrespect to the defensive game,
it's
man.
It's a bit of a mistake in my eyes. Now, yeah. I went in an even, you know, another different direction. I also included Vince Lombardi on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
I think it's more about what you meant to the league, what kind of impact you had, what's your legacy on the league. I don't think it necessarily has to be the best players, and that's why I'm leaving LT off of my Mount Rushmore because I think his off-the-field issues kind of cloud his overall narrative. Mm. I think, you know, the drug problems, the recent legal troubles he's gotten himself into, I think that takes him off the mountaintop. I think he's not on my list.
Just for that, though. Well, my thing was just the game.
Just on the field.
On the field.
On the field, that's perfectly fine.
Would you put a coach on your NBA Rushmore list?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe I'd put Red Auerbach on there.
I didn't even think about that.
You know, it goes beyond just the guys who play the game.
Okay,
as far as my defensive player, I'm going to go with Dick Butkus. You know, he kind of represents a different generation. He's, you know, widely regarded as one of the toughest linebackers of all time. He is that quintessential middle linebacker. He's what you picture when you think of the position. You know, he, you know, had over 1,000 tackles in 119 games. He would have probably still be leading the NFL in fumble recoveries had they kept that stat for his entire career because he was just adept at ripping the ball out of guys' hands. I think he meant a lot to especially the Bears franchise in general, but just defense in the NFL, the toughness of the old school NFL days. I think he is the best embodiment of that. I also have Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. It's just tough to deny what they accomplished in their careers.
Yeah.
But yeah, my list is Lombardi, Butkus, Montana, and Jerry Rice.
And Alex, what was your list again?
I've got Brown, Rice, Montana, and Favre.
So we all pretty much agree that Rice, Montana, and was there another one that we had?
Brown.
Did you have Brown?
I'll give Jim Brown an honorable mention. But I think if you're gonna count against Barry Sanders for not playing long enough, that also has to count against Jim Brown because he only played 9 seasons.
The thing is with Jim's records, though.
Right.
I mean, oh, his records
accolades,
just
yeah.
completely just shattered him. Man, that's the thing with Jim. But
yeah,
okay,
I mean, Barry Sanders could have. I mean, he could have had the all-time rushing record too had he played longer.
If Barry Sanders would have played, and this, I always go back to that, man. Barry, I was such a huge Barry fan. I mean, I think Barry arguably is the biggest box office NFL player as far as just just the moves he would make. I mean, just making the game just eye candy for everyone who watched him. Barry is that guy. I don't see any other guy. I mean, because he was unbelievable, guys.
Right. And can you really fault him for not winning anything when he played for
the Lions?
The Lions.
You know?
I mean,
yeah.
That should be, you know, a boost to his stock.
Right.
Because, you know,
right.
He did the things he did as a Lion.
So and on the other side of it, I would say that comparing Brown to Sanders, Sanders didn't really have too much of an offensive prowess. Like, his offensive line wasn't amazing. They weren't all pro.
He made plays happen.
Right,
Barry
exactly.
made stuff
Brown,
happen.
He had a couple guys
Brown,
that were pretty
They were different
pretty
type
good.
Of backs. Barry was more of a finesse back. I mean, he could elude you with his speed and turn you around. Jim Brown was just going to go through you. You know what I mean? He was going to put you on your butt, truck you, and
Sanders
go to the
Sanders
was
more elusive.
The
Brown was more powerful.
Yeah, different type of backs.
I feel like it's almost more appropriate to do a Mount Rushmore of running backs or a Mount Rushmore.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's funny. Micah Mike had a Mount Rushmore of clowns. I mean, so many people are this Mount Rushmore thing is just taking the atmosphere where everybody is trying to do a top four.
Clowns.
They had like Ronald McDonald and. It was crazy. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny stuff. So, all right, guys. And also, last but not least, Derek Jeter, guys. Aaron, if we can just play one of those bites. Derek Jeter, he held a press conference today because, you know, of course, everyone, it's a media frenzy because this will be his last season, lacing up the cleats and going out there on the diamond and playing. And he held a press conference to address everyone before he, you know, embarks on his season. Here's Jeter on just the emotion of the moment. This is a pretty funny one.
You trying to get me to cry, John? That's the thing. Just spit it out if you're trying to get me to cry. yeah, I'm emotional, but it's kind of difficult because we still have a season to play. You know, it might be different if it was the end of the year, but right now, yeah, I have feelings. you know what I'm saying? I'm not emotionally stunted. You know what I'm saying? I know it. You know, there's feelings there, but... Yeah, I think I've just been pretty good at trying to hide my emotions throughout the years. I try to have the same demeanor each and every day. But it's different. It's not the end of the season yet. So we still got a long year to go.
So, yeah, that was Derek Jeter, the great Derek Jeter, at his 11:30 a.m. presser as he addressed the media and embarks on his final season. His final season, guys, taking the diamond. Just really quick, guys. We got 2 minutes left. Just thoughts on the legacy of Derek Jeter and, you know, what comes to mind when you hear his name. For me, guys, the first word that comes to my mind is class. I mean, Derek Jeter, I mean, you never heard about any off-the-field antics for him. He approached the game with such in a classy way. Anybody who came in contact with him just, you know, resonates how such a nice guy he is, a great representation for the game of baseball he is. I mean, and Derek, I mean, again, you in a world where social media, Twitter, Facebook, camera phones kind of, you know, are all out there for everybody to see, media frenzy everywhere, Derek Jeter found a way to keep his life private and just go out there and play the game at a high level every single year. Classy guy, and I'm a huge fan of him.
And the media just is so warming to him too. I mean, you heard the laughter. He's just such a good personality.
He's great with the media too, man.
Yeah.
He's great. The thing about Jeter is he knows what he wants to say and how to say it. Where it's a way that's it's compelling in a press conference, but he won't give you too much. Where it's like, oh, he said this. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Our next barbershop. Best athletes with the media.
I like that one.
I think that's a good one we should do.
As far as my legacy with Jeter, he's the anti-A-Rod. He says all the right things.
Right,
he doesn't say too much. He doesn't wear out his welcome. People like him.
Yeah.
But as far as my, you know, biggest memory, it's got to be the flip in the ALDS in 2001 to beat Oakland.
Yeah, to beat Oakland. That was a great moment. All right, guys. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in today's Current Sports. Thanks to Peter Warf, our station manager here at WKR, Aaron Young, engineering, Matt Ludke, Alex Shark, our fantastic production assistants. Thanks so much, guys. I want to remind you all that you can be a part of the Current Sports TV studio audience tonight when I sit down with St. John's head wrestling coach Derek Phillips. Just sign up at WKR.org. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.